he's two at this point, and he's walking around. He's like, my papa's the sky, and my papa's the grass, and my papa's the air. And just like,
there's nothing you ever taught or like,
not really, you know, it's like, and he was going to Lutheran preschool at the time where they were like, you know, your dad will go to heaven or to,
you say it like that,
or to hell. I don't know. Like, they're actually very sweet.
Yeah, sure, you know? But you like,
they're actually very sweet. And he did learn the story of Easter, and it is disturbing.
Okay. Hi, everyone. It's David. Welcome to this week's episode of Dead Talks. Today, I'm excited to announce my guest in Nora McInerney. She is an author, a podcast host, and a very well-known speaker. You may have seen her in her TED Talk, and she is absolutely hilarious. Besides her brilliance and her viewpoints on life, she is so funny. We are literally laughing this entire episode. It went completely smoothly. As soon as we hit record, we just started rolling. So I'm excited to share this episode because she had to absorb a lot of loss in her life, including her second miscarriage, her father, and her husband in a very short period of time. And despite that, she brings such an incredible perspective to life and plenty of laughs, which I think if you know me by now, I appreciate the laughs in the darkness of life. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Oh, and she shares a story with Laura Lynn Jackson. If you're not familiar with her, she's a very well-known psychic medium and actually shared a story that she had an experience going to one of her events that is very fascinating and powerful. So I'm curious what you think about her experience there. And as usual, I'll stop talking. But before I do, don't forget to write a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or whatever you're listening to. Thank you. And I'm done talking. Let's get into it. Whenever I have those, like a medium on, I have my own beliefs and whatnot that I'm sure we could tap into, but it's so divisive and controversial, which I like that shit. I have to refrain. I'm starting to give way less of a fuck from like responding to comments.
Yes.
I don't want to go too deep, but this one's like blowing up and for the divisiveness, which is expected. But it's just so interesting to see how, and I have one part, this is 100% bullshit. This is how the fuck are you 100%, I'm not even 100% sure if this is coffee. Like, I don't even know. And you're telling me this is bullshit.
How many times have you died that makes you so sure of anything?
Exactly. And then the person will say the same thing to her. Like, how do you know? Which is a fair question.
Yeah.
Which I think. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm assuming you saw Laura Lynn in a medium, so you believe in it.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know the context. My friend invited me to this event for my friend's birthday. And I just sort of like bought a ticket and, you know, it's my friend's birthday. I just bought a ticket. I often like to go into things not knowing, you know, like I pick up a book. I don't read the back of it. I just buy it. I go to a movie, like maybe I've seen like a bit of a trailer somewhere, but I'm not reading about it beforehand. Like same with TV shows. I really don't want to know anything about something. And then I went to this event. And I knew, you know, when she started talking, I was like, oh, okay, so that's what this is.
Yeah. You know?
That's exciting. Oh, okay, okay. But like the event was just called A Night with Laura Lynn Jackson. Like that could be a country singer.
100%.
That, you know, that could be.
That's actually hilarious.
I was like, okay, we're at a Burbank Airport Marriott. I don't know what to expect. There was a Xena Warrior Princess convention. It was a strange evening in and of itself. But everything sounds crazy if you describe it to somebody from the outside. If I told you, David, that I grew up and every Sunday I had to go into this big old building and I had to go into a dark closet with an old man in a dress and tell him all of my secrets, you'd say you were in a cult. I was a Catholic. If I told you.
What's going on there?
Confession.
Okay.
You know?
So, I was like, oh, shit.
Right?
This is about to get dark.
Yeah. Or okay. if I told, and then we would walk to the front and we would get blood and flesh to eat. Because it was literally the body and blood of Christ. Like you'd be like, that's crazy. Everything sounds crazy.
That is a really good point.
You know, everything sounds crazy if you don't believe in it.
100%. And that's the thing. I think when it comes to beliefs and this or that, I like to have these conversations to hear different beliefs. Like whatever you want to believe is fine with me. But it's just interesting how people, I think, really attach themselves to that belief, which is fine. Maybe that helps you, but it gets to a point sometimes where I feel like my beliefs, my ideas, I don't like to attach myself to them. I like to hear new things.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll shift me. Maybe it won't because it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a belief. But I think once you kind of blend those two together, then when someone says the opposite of your belief, it starts to become personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where we see those reactions.
Yeah. That's really wise of you. And
is it?
Yeah, it is wise. And it's very like old fashioned of you, because also like when you live inside of a rage machine where people are looking for, you know, places to like experience conflict in a way that is central to their being, like they're reacting to something saying like, you are disagreeing with me personally. You are saying I am wrong. And in a way that is also very depersonalized, we don't have to look at each other, and is also kind of an avatar for all of our frustrations about a world that is chaotic at best and cruel at its worst, where, you know, most of us are just living on the margins of a world controlled by billionaires. I don't know how far you want to take that, but truly, like, you know, then yeah, like it makes sense. Let's fight in the comments. Let's get really pissed off in the, you know, checkout line at, you know, Target or whatever it is. And really, you can also have these moments in life where you've experienced loss, where you've watched somebody that you love leave this earth, and you have these keyhole moments where like everything makes sense for a moment, for a moment.
It really is for a moment. Even when I think I understand something, then what's that U2 song? It's like literally the more you see, the less you know. And I'm starting to, as I've gotten older, that's the one thing I feel like I pulled. Literally the more I learn, the more wisdom I gain, I feel like I literally know less. Because then you start seeing a whole vast world out there of this, that, and the other. And then all of a sudden it's like, I know nothing.
Yeah.
I know nothing. And I feel like I'm comfortable saying I know nothing because I have a podcast and I talk about death. And part of me is like, I have friends that come to me like, oh, you're like the death guy. I'm like, I mean, I have guests on to talk about it, but I don't have like a full grasp on this.
No, same.
I don't have even with my experience and your experience, like we have that. It's just a keyhole.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is a keyhole. Like you are absolutely an expert in like your loss.
My loss.
Right? Exactly. Your loss. Exactly. And like, you know, and me and mine. And also, even when you've lost the same person, you're losing different versions of them. Every single person who knew them lost a different version of them, and that loss is personal to them in a completely different way that you may never have full visibility into.
Yes, it's just the layers of it. I was talking to a buddy about, he was talking about specifically losing his dog and how heavy that was. And that was a whole nother conversation about pet loss. I've noticed people kind of get a little irritated in the comparison of it.
Yeah.
I'm not comparing it. I'm just explaining different experiences. Yeah. But it's a real grief. And for him personally, he lost his dog that was like a son to him. And what he explained when his family lost his, it's going to come back, I promise. Mm-hmm. When they lost the family dog, he was like, yeah, but my mom lost Rex, the dog, my sister lost, and my brother lost. And it was what you were saying is there's, whether it's a human or a dog, it's those interpersonal relationships. And that's why there's no one grief and or one experience in general. Whatever it is, we all have our specific outlooks and relationships with X. And that affects you differently, which is interesting to me, especially when it comes to like a family dynamic. Because whenever I speak to someone about their loss, I'm hearing it from them, but then we might have 100 people that lose a father, but it's just a totally different dynamic where you were in that life, your relationship, like you said, and just it affects the whole spectrum.
Yeah, yeah. So it's people are weird about pets.
I know. Like in many ways.
Yeah.
In like other ways. Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And you said something really important too, which is like, I'm not comparing them. You know, I'm not saying like, oh, wait, I'm sorry, did you lose a baby? I know exactly how that feels. Mm-hmm. Right. I know. Apples, this is an apple and this, you're not saying that at all. You're saying like, this is a loss and this is a loss. And I don't know, they don't have to be weighed and measured, but I do find when I am at my worst, I want mine to be the heaviest. You know what I mean? Like I want mine to be the center of the universe. Like, what about me? What about mine?
I think that's important too.
Yeah.
I think that's important. I think some people want to go the other. I mean, I think everyone wants that inherently. I feel like as humans, we just naturally seek attention. Even if I like to think I don't like the attention, but someone, you get attention in the right way, it's nice. But especially in grief, I wonder if there's a balancing act of wanting the attention and not wanting the attention.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Wanting the attention in the right way, which you don't even understand what that is. You know,
mm-hmm. like, I don't know. Yeah. It goes back to nothing.
Especially in the moment too. And I don't know, every time you do it too, you're like a beginner all over again.
Yeah. And that's as deep as I get. Sometimes I like the beginning phases of so many things. I've learned to embrace that.
Yeah.
And it's different with heavy shit in life. Yeah. I'm curious, regardless of what we were just talking about, I get a lot when I go through people that are experiencing loss and they talk to me and they start telling their story off the mic and they're like, I lost so much, but you understand. I'm like, I don't. Like, I understand my grief, but I didn't lose your dad.
Yeah.
I didn't lose your mom.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wonder if that's I think I've gotten good responses from that. I'm not saying it to make sure I'm saying the right thing. I'm just like, no, I don't, I understand, mm-hmm. but I don't, like, I understand, yeah. but I don't understand. Like, this is your experience. And I wonder if that's coming off, if is that like isolating them or is that me just understanding that, you know, I understand, but I don't.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's putting them on an island or is that comforting?
No, I think, I mean, you'd have to ask them, but I think you have a comforting way about you too. And I think it's opening up a space for them to say more about it. Because sometimes I think people say, like, well, you understand, as almost kind of like a barometer of saying, like, are you bored? I don't want to bore you. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get into it, you know? And it's like, there are certain things that you understand, right? Like, you know, or I don't know. Also, maybe you don't. But like the moment of having to actually call, like, you have to call when someone dies. Like, who do you call when someone dies? You have to call, like, I called Aaron when he died. I like picked up the phone and was like, you will not believe what just happened. And his phone started ringing. I was like, oh shit, no, you're dead. Who am I supposed to tell? Like, who do I call? Like, he was the first person I thought of to call. I was like, you're my call. You are the call. And then, you know, I don't even remember what order, but I end up calling the hospice nurse and she's like, now you have to call like 911. I was like, hi, it's not an emergency. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how do you define, there's
point.
A dead man, but he had cancer. So we knew he was dying. However, I do have the body in my home. I didn't kill him. I just want to know. Someone told me to call you. I don't know if I'm calling the right number. Like, I don't know. I don't want to bother you. I don't want to bother
you. You're apologizing.
Yeah. Or? And it's like, you know, I don't know. There's so many strange and awkward moments in the experience, even though it's like a universal experience. And I think that's what you're trying to say to people too. It's like, I don't know, but also you do know that there is something that happens to you. You are different afterwards, right? Like, think about who you were when these things happen to other people, you know? And someone could tell you, like, you know, oh, my dad died, and you'd be like, oh, shots for the table, you know? Like, you'd just be like, how can I get out of this conversation? And like, what you're saying to them when you say, like, well, I don't know yours, is you're saying, like, but I'll listen.
Yes.
And that's so important. I truly feel like the worst thing a person can say to you is nothing, you know? Like, the worst thing a person can do is just pretend like nothing happened.
Yeah, and that's their natural response because they don't,
yeah.
they're maybe overthinking it, don't have the experience, and that's yeah. where the experience comes in. But again, I even after my own experience and having this podcast and talking about it so much, I'm still, like, my reaction is what you were saying. I think I am, by saying that, showing an understanding, but also letting them know that your experience is unique, because mm-hmm. I think that is important to
yeah.
understand. And giving them a little bit of a push without being aggressive to say you can talk about it. Like, me, depending on the person, I think you got to, and how you
yes.
know them, it's a different interaction. But for me personally, it's like giving them the space. And if it's a close friend, I'd be like, yo, tell me what you want. Like, do you want me to get, you want food? Are you hungry? Mm-hmm. Do you want to go out? Do you want me to shut up? Do you want me to listen? Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't know what they want. And I just tell them, it's okay. If you don't know, like, I'm literally here. And I think when people say things in general, like, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
I say it like twice, just yes. to let them know, like, I'm here for you. And I don't want to leave that. Like, seriously. Like, call me.
Yeah.
Don't call me. Do you want me to shut up? Like, whatever you want. So I feel like, me personally, it's okay to ask them, but, or maybe just insinuate you have the space.
Yeah.
And whatever that means, like, it's just, I think sometimes people don't want you to say anything. They just want to be heard.
Yeah.
Or they want advice. I don't know. Because sometimes you can say the wrong thing at the wrong time, depending on who it is.
Oh.
How they take it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've said so many wrong things.
All the time.
All the time. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I pull out of my body. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Because you want to say
yeah.
something good. And like, it's part of me saying, say something profound now.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be profound.
No.
Sometimes I just give them a hug.
Yeah.
I don't say anything. Sometimes I don't know what to say. And not even just grief. It's anything. If someone's going through something, it's kind of just, I'm already like touchy-feely.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's mine. I think, again, it depends on the relationship and how you know someone. But when I get like strangers asking me things now at this point, I kind of tread a little lightly because, you know, I don't know the dynamic of you.
Yeah.
So that becomes, this is a whole different, unique experience, especially with you and what you've done. So I just, I don't know, it's a tough dynamic in general.
I think if you think that your words are going to fix something, you're in trouble.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? If you think like, look, if I can just say the right thing, this won't be sad anymore. And we can kind of get on with our day and our interaction. And like, you really cannot underestimate the power of showing up and just shutting up, like just shutting your mouth and like existing in that space with them. And in the weeks after Aaron died, Aaron was my husband. I just lost my dad. And then I'd lost a pregnancy right before that. And I was just so out of it. I was so out of it. And the only thing that I could bear to do was to sit in my basement after I put my son to bed and get blind drunk and watch Real Housewives. And my friend Evan would come over and help me put my kid to bed and just sit on the couch next to me and watch Real Housewives. And maybe occasionally I would pause it and just cry. But most of the time we would just sit there quietly until I like was drunk enough that I could fall asleep. You know, not healthy behavior, not healthy, not the healthiest of grief behaviors, but like that's where I was. That's where I was mentally. And
that's okay.
Yeah. And he like showed up. He was never going to be, you know, he was never going to fix it. Like there was nothing that he could fix, but like his presence truly, I think like kept me on earth.
Did you get pissed off at anyone for not being there or handling it wrong?
I was such a fucking asshole.
But you're sitting
I would just like to take this time to issue a public apology. Okay. There are many people that I was rude to, unkind to, direct to camera. There was. Like, there really was. I was... Grief sometimes does not make you a better person right away. Grief sometimes is so painful that you are the absolute worst version of yourself. That was me. I was expecting people to know the steps to a dance they didn't know they were doing. I wanted them to be fluent in a language that I was still learning. I wanted them to show up for me, and I made it impossible for them to show up to me because when they asked how I was, I said I was fine. I was lying. Turns out, and I'm an amazing actress, call me. I am. I had everybody convinced, right? And then they weren't there, and I was so mad. Aaron was dying. You know, our house was like, it was like the most horrible and most beautiful days of my life because our house was just filled with people like there, like just showing up, sitting quietly, drinking coffee in the living room, sometimes sitting with him, sometimes sitting with me, sometimes sitting with our baby. And my mom lit a Diptyque candle that was purely for show. It was a gift. I couldn't afford to burn
it. Diptyque candle?
It's a Diptyque. It's very expensive.
Diptyque, got it.
It's very expensive, David. It was a gift. Okay.
Diptyque, come on.
Yeah. I was like, that candle. Like, I like, you know, like my husband is literally dying in the other room. And I was like, why the fuck are you lighting this candle? Like, just like off my rocker. I like go in there and he's like, why are you yelling at your mom? I'm like, well, when you hear what this bitch did, like you will be on my side. It's like she lit a candle. Like she lit a candle. Get a grip. But yeah, I was truly like awful because the rage is easier to feel than the emptiness and the sadness. And I had never seen grief. I'd lost a grandfather, a grandmother, an uncle, all on my mom's side. And after the funeral was over, so was the crying. And then we never talked about them ever again.
Ever again?
Not really, no. Maybe once or twice. You know, it's like, you know, I don't know. It just was like, I truly thought that grief was meant to be resolved, and like healed from quickly, right? Like you throw the dirt on that and then you all walk away and then you have a lunch in the basement of the church. And if you're in the Midwest, that is potato salad, many mayonnaise-based salads.
Okay.
Ham sandwiches. Okay.
Not a big ham guy, but okay.
Me neither.
Thanksgiving,
me neither.
Ham, yeah. Ham
sandwiches, slopping on some mayonnaise salads, and then it just kind of over. And I just was totally unprepared for like the living with it part. And the fact that when the funeral was over, I'd have to come home to a house and be like, I'm home to nobody but my baby, you know, like, and there was just no one to call on the way home. And there was no one to watch our son grow with. And there was no one to hook up the Apple TV. Turns out it's just plugging it in. But I really was like beside myself, like I'll never watch TV again.
Those are the realest moments is, you know, you have the funeral and I feel like those seem to be, okay, when the body's there, it's that experience. But the realest moments are, like you just said, when you got home and you realize that person, then it's like real life.
It's life.
Like that, I feel like that phase of the actual like real funeral doesn't feel real, but it seems like that's the moment. But then once you have to encompass yourself back into life, that's when it starts getting like holy shit.
Were you a bad person after?
Well, I'm confused because, I mean, maybe.
You just seem too sweet to like.
You don't know me well enough, but maybe I come off like that, but I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm a pain in the ass in general, but I don't know. It's hard for me to incorporate how I was then. I was a pain in the ass to my mom, and I just wonder if that, I still don't know if that was just me being, because I lost my dad when I was 12.
Yeah.
And me and my mom banged heads, but I don't know if that was just me being me as a kid. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it had to do something with my dad and frustration that just came out, but I've never been able to understand which that was. Because I understand me and my mom, my family have an unbelievable relationship now, very close. But I definitely was a pain in the ass to my mom. Like I think I would get frustrated easily. I would give her shit for like the little things, whether it wasn't a tea candle, but whatever she was lighting. Yeah. I definitely was a pain in the ass to my mom. To other people, I don't think so, that I recollect, but the one that stands out the most is my attitude towards my mom.
Yeah.
And at the time, I don't recollect ever correlating to like, I'm mad at you for this, or it was just more frustrations and banging heads.
Yeah.
But again, I feel like that's common with teenagers and parental relationships. Yeah. So I don't know, but I also think, you know, losing my dad at 12, then having my mom and me being a dick has to have some correlation.
Yeah, it's also like you lost your dad. 12 is so young. You know, like I have an 11-year-old boy now and like you're still a baby. You really are. Like you forget how little that age is. Like you're still like a little kid when you're 12, you know? Like maybe you're watching R-rated movies and like swearing with your friends, but like you are still like a really little kid and your mom lost her husband. It's like so disorienting. And none of you had done it before, too.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel the guilt. And like now talking about it. I give myself some leeway because I was a kid. But then I'm like, damn, fuck. If I was such an asshole to my mom, not even really computing what she was going through at the time. Like I saw it. I understood it, but not really.
Yeah. How would you though? Yeah.
And I talked about it before, but my mom, she's great now, but she went into cardiac arrest last year, and then it was a weird encompassing moment. I'm being redundant for those of you that heard the story, but going back to me being a kid, and then to an adult, I was like concerned about. I let it weigh on me. I was like, I was the man of the house, quote unquote. I didn't put no hair on my body. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
Kevin McAllister,
Kevin McAllister, like cheesy pizza and all that shit, and. I always felt like, was I there, this or that? Yeah. And then we had this experience with my mom where I was like going through this where we thought she was gone. She was gone her heart was stopped for like 10, 15 minutes. And we didn't know she's on life support. And I was just embracing the moment, understanding, like now I really understand, see how my sisters feel. I see how the people around me are really processing this. And it was like a weird experience to be old enough to understand that comparatively to me experiencing it as a kid around my family, not understanding, not like I forget so much. I genuinely, and that's what's frustrating. Like I need to go and like get hypnotized or something, but there's so much that I don't remember. I just know based on not remembering, now that I'm old enough to understand, like that's the difference. I realized, I didn't recognize my sister's sadness as much. I didn't understand what my mom was going through. Now going through this experience, almost losing my mom, granted it wasn't grief at the time, I was like, now I get it. Now I see my sister's tears and I can be there for them. But it's just a totally different grasp of understanding it. And then I think, would I even be in the moment if I didn't have that experience? Because I feel like having that understanding and guilt weigh on me, I was able to be even more present. And it was bizarre. I felt more present in my life than I ever have. I was like very conscious of being in the moment and not getting too scattered, thinking the worst, this thing, that. But it was like, due to that experience, me personally, of not remembering and feeling
it's
like I wasn't there.
It's your moment. It all makes sense. And you're like,
moment,
we're going to be right here.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And it was bizarre. I remember just like sitting there, just thinking, like really being present. I wasn't thinking, would my mom be okay? I wasn't thinking before, just here.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just these life experiences that I kind of just all, it like all came down on me in one moment. I don't know. It was as if like my, everything was building up to be there at that moment. Not that I did everything right, but for me personally, it was all a buildup. I was like, oh, this, I was like, really felt, oh, this experience made me understand the situation way more. I don't know where I was going with
that. No, I think also like all of this has prepared you for that too. This, you know what I mean? All this work too, where like you can recognize those moments. And I don't know that you would have been that present for it if you had not experienced loss already. And you were present for what like a 12-year-old is able to be present for too. You know what I mean?
Five seconds.
And like that's like protective of yourself too. Like that's like a survival mechanism, all of that. And like, you know, I can say like as a mother, I would never want any of my kids to feel like they had to like aid my survival, you know? Like that's like a mother's instinct is to be like, I'm going to get these kids through this experience no matter what it takes. Like, do not worry about me, whatever you do. Have you reached the age your dad was when he died?
No, my sisters are close. I was talking to them. So he was 46 and Jacqueline's getting
closer.
He looks
very young.
Well, that was before.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that was there. I wonder he might have been close to mine. He might have been in his 30s there. I'm assuming mid 30s maybe. Or maybe he actually might have been like closer to 40 there.
Okay.
I want to say 40. But he died when he was 46. So I'm 30. I just turned 35. But my sister was talking to me. I was like, damn, I'm getting close.
Yeah.
And at the time, I feel like it's one of those things when I was a kid, I was like, damn, 46 is ancient.
So old. I know. I had a good life. Yeah.
Literally.
Honestly, I probably would have thought that until I was like 40.
Yeah.
Which I just, you know, I'm like, I got 46.
Like, it is true.
Feels pretty good.
But it is so young. And I think about that. And I think about my mom at the time, you know, she was 44. So it's just, and I think about my sisters going through it. It's just all just like relating back and forth. And again, it just comes back to like, I don't know. This shit is wild. This like, and it goes back to the topic. You were talking about Laura Lynn Jackson and beliefs. So I'm not trying to do a hard turn here.
Yeah.
But it goes to like,
apologies.
This, the belief system.
Yeah.
And just people. I don't know, but this word beliefs inherently is belief. You believe things, you know, you might believe it to be true, but inherently the word belief is uncertainty, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Like,
I think so.
Yeah, these are not my no's, they're my beliefs.
They're your beliefs.
Like, they're your beliefs, and I don't know, and they're sort of true to you until proven otherwise, or I don't know, I did not go, I will bring this all back for you, but I don't know. I didn't go there. I didn't go to see Laura Lynn Jackson thinking like, oh, this will be a portal to, you know, my husband. And, oh, I'm going to like go and have some like healing grief experience. That's what happened, which is great. But I also have had moments before I even knew who she was where like I could just feel like the thinness between what is now and what is next. And I felt that when Aaron died, and I was there for that. I felt that when my dad was dying, and we like stood around his bed, and a priest came, and we, you know, all said a rosary, and were saying all the same prayers that my dad said his entire life, and his dad said his entire life, and, you know, like generations of my family have said their entire lives, and you know, he looked at all of us and he said goodbye. And my atheist husband looked at me and was like, I want whatever this is. Like, he's got like stage 4 cancer. Like, it's shutting down this side of his body. And he was like, I want that. And I was like, you got it, bud. You got it. Yeah, you got it. And, you know, like, I have had those moments where it just feels like my dad, when he was sick, had said to us, like, we never really leave one another. And he was Catholic to his core. So I don't know what that meant to him. But he was like, we never leave one another. And he was in the ICU, and he had told me he had just had a dream where he was in his childhood home. And it was a two-story with like a little landing on the stairs that went down. And he slid, his mother was on the landing, and he was at the top, and he slid down the banister into his mother's arms. And then he woke up.
Wow.
And, right? And I was like, oh. And I don't know, it's like he could feel that, like he could feel that, like that presence kind of surrounding him. And so even if that's not like a part of his like faith system, it's not completely out of line with it either, right? I grew up, like you can pray to saints, like you can pray to like God. You can pray to, like, you can pray for people who have died. You can talk to people who have died, like, as you pray. And so it's not like out of step with it. And also, I don't know if we believe that there is something else, whatever religion you are. I think, you know, I think all Western religions, I actually don't know shit, so I shouldn't say that, but I got an A in world religions. It was mostly recitation and memorization, and it is deleted from my brain. But there are many faith systems that believe that there's something else, right? And like, I don't know, who knows what it is?
Some people think they do. And again, I understand the evidential aspect where people want proof. I get that. Yeah. It totally makes sense. Like, I want proof. But I do believe there's so much magic, or if you want to call it quantum physics. It's like there's so much shit out there that we don't know that is so ridiculous in nature. Like, I forgot who I was listening to. It was talking about, like, atoms. I'm like, think of an atom.
Yeah.
Like, just think about how everything operates. It's just like, oh, it's in a textbook. This is normal. It's routine. Think about an atom. It, like, hurts my eyes now because I'm pressing on them. And I literally have something in my eye. Damn it. And
it's an atom.
It's an atom. And it's like, and then Christians are probably like, Adam and Eve? No, I'm talking about like an atom.
Atom. It's an atom.
Yes. An atom. And it's like, an atom is so ridiculous in itself and how everything operates in general. And like, if you just dumb that down to what we do know, that to me is absolutely insane. Like, this is not actually solid. This chair is vibrating. What the hell are you talking about? No, it's solid. But it might not make no sense. What I'm going is like, it's so inherent by the things we do know are so ridiculous. I think we forget the foundation of what we are. And to think like the afterlife is impossible.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, like think of an atom.
Yeah. Think of an atom.
Look at the sky. Look at the universe. That is ridiculous. We don't even know the ocean.
Magnets, man. Magnets, how do they work?
Magnets, man. Fucking madness.
Okay, and guess what? When I heard that song, I was like, don't make fun of it. I feel the same way, okay? Like, elephants, what? Like, if you, like, when you have seen, like, elephants, if you truly think, like, you know when someone says your name too many times, and then you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm like, the word. Like, it's like, if you think, it's like, okay, so I'm sorry, you're telling me that I breathe in and a bunch of little things in my lungs like take in air and then they transform it and I breathe it out. And then that plant is making like, have you heard of photosynthesis? Yeah. This is nuts. So like, if you want to believe that, like, when you see 666 on a check, like I did the other day, that's your dead husband saying hi. Great. Okay. Like, great. There's so many logical fallacies that get us through life, like whatever that doesn't hurt any other people. But like, if there is something that smooths the edges of this world for you, great. And if that is a religion, wonderful. And if that is believing that, you know, your dead people are controlling the songs you hear on the radio to deliver you the right song at the right moment, beautiful, wonderful. Why would I want to take that from you?
Yeah, I'm just kind of in the thought process of, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
And I think what you just said, if this is rounding the edges for someone, whatever you may believe in, like outside of grief, death, whatever, it's, okay, this gives me comfort perhaps. Like, I understand the ideology, maybe like religion beliefs may give you comfort and that's why you believe it against evidential evidence. Yeah. And my thought is like, if it's rounding the edges for someone, I think there's this belief that, okay, there's only one outcome. There's only one answer. And my thought, I go on both sides. I'm like, okay, well, if there's only one, there's all these beliefs, then a lot of people are wrong. But I think if it rounds the edges for you, doesn't hurt anyone, it makes you feel good by hearing another opposing opinion, that is not going to round your edges because it makes your edges wrong. And people get, like, oh my God, my beliefs might be wrong and it's going to offend my comfort.
Yeah.
But again, I think if you go in it, maybe, I don't know, but this makes me feel good. I believe in this. Mm-hmm. You could be right. I could be wrong. But I think people have a hard time just being like, you might be right. You'd be wrong. Then they go, then go to the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm not like knocking it, but it's.
But there's a lot of fanfic in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of fanfic.
There's a lot of fanfic. A lot of people writing a lot of crazy stuff. Like, and I don't know. I really don't hold any of it too tightly. Mm-hmm. I really don't. And like, I have sometimes just seen a penny and been like, huh, cool, a penny. I guess I have a penny now. And sometimes I've seen a penny.
And I saw this the other day and I looked at the penny. There's a penny. And I literally, I didn't get rid of it. It's so bizarre.
And that is a sign. And I'm sorry. That is a sign. We have to pick. Why did you throw it? I have to know what year it is.
It's right there. Go get it. I literally looked at this penny the other day and I put it on this countertop. I put it down.
Okay, are you ready?
What year is it?
Okay, hold on. Oh, it's new. Oh, 2017. Meaningless.
Oh, yeah. You got
not a sign. No longer a sign.
Exactly. That was fucking beautiful.
That was crazy.
I don't even know why the penny was okay. there.
Yeah.
But I saw it the other day, but I didn't take, I just put it down. Yeah. I had a similar reaction. Yeah. Oh, a penny. Interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
And then I kept it there. Yeah. And no one's ever mentioned a penny on this podcast. I don't think.
I don't know why they would.
Yeah, it's fair. Okay.
I want you combing through transcripts like penny, 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 penny.
Okay. I think it's all going to show up on this episode. Yeah.
I want to be the person who is known for bringing up pennies on this podcast. Well,
that's what I'm going to call it now. I was thinking about SEO. There's something that's going to
It's going to be find a penny, pick it up. Okay. Sometimes I see a penny and then sometimes you see a penny and then sometimes we lose our track, but it is okay if that doesn't mean anything to other people, you know. And I came home from this event. Do you want me to talk about that at all?
Whatever you want. Like, I talk about whatever you want.
Okay. So I did not expect to, like, I just was not expecting any of it.
Wait, and just set it up for people that are clarifying.
So we're at, like, I'm in a Marriott ballroom by the Burbank Airport, and I'm there with some friends, and I'm there, like, I got there, like, 2 hours early because you never know in LA how long something's going to take. Mm-hmm. And I was coming from Altadena. I didn't know, right? Anyways, I was there very early. There was a group of people who walked in. They were all, like, related. You could just tell, like, all pretty in the same way. And then they were like, are you going to this thing? I was like, yeah, I am. And we got to talking. They were like, wait, are you friends with Chase? And they say his last name. And I was like, yeah, I am. They're like, that's our cousin's husband. He lives in New York. These random four people. So already I'm like, you know, I'm getting primed, baby, right? Already I'm like, okay. Then we all sit together. And Laura Lynn Jackson comes out and she is like beautiful and peaceful. And, you know, she's like, we are here tonight. There's a lot of presence here. Everyone is here because they have somebody on the other side. I want you to know that, you know, I'm not their first choice of people to talk to. They want to talk to you, right? And you've read her book, Signs. And it's like, the people who have crossed over are present and also gone. And, you know, like, where they are now is wonderful. They're not suffering. They don't want you to worry. But, like, you know, they're sending you little signals. They want you to know that they're still here. They want you to know that, you know, they still care about you. And, like, that love still persists. And I'm like, okay, yeah, yeah. Totally agree, right? And I'd had a few. Ralph was almost two when Aaron died. And the day that he actually died, he did hospice in our house. And Ralph is like 22 months old. And we're like laying in the little hospital bed. And then he got down. He was like at the edge of the bed. And he goes, okay, all gone. Bye-bye. All done.
What?
Goodbye. 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 And like got up, like with all like the, you know, kissed him and got down and like walked away. And he had daycare next door, thank God. And I like walked him over and Aaron died.
Oh my.
Like, and to me, I was just like, oh, like kids know, you know what I mean? Like the younger you are, it just feels like they're more in tune with like who we are and how we really are before you have to learn how to fake it to get through this world. Wow. And I know.
That's powerful.
Yeah. And maybe a few days after he died, Ralph's under our kitchen table, you know, like crawling around and he goes, Papa. And he waves at the couch that Aaron used to sit at and he stood up and he hit his head.
Oh, man.
And he was like crying so hard and going, Papa, Papa, just like crying. And I was like, oh, something in me was like, he saw his dad, you know, just the veil. And I have a video of it somewhere. I can find it and send it to you. But he's like out in our backyard in a house that Aaron never lived in after we had moved. And he's two at this point. And he's walking around. He's like, my papa's the sky and my papa's the grass and my papa's the air. And just like,
there's nothing you ever taught or like,
not really, you know, it's like, and he was going to Lutheran preschool at the time where they were like, you know, your dad will go to heaven or to,
you say it like that,
or to hell. I don't know. Like they're actually very sweet.
Yeah, sure. You know, but you like,
They're actually very sweet. And he did learn the story of Easter, and it is disturbing.
Okay.
Like, when a toddler comes home and he's like, they looked at him and they said, this man must die. And I was like, jeez, like, what am I teaching you there? Like, that was a quote from him for years. He's like, this man must die.
Oh, my God.
I was like, yeah, Easter's not all fun and games, children. Jesus. Easter's a story of... Yes.
That's what, no. Don't say sorry. Don't ever say sorry again. Say pennies. You can say pennies. Don't say sorry. That's interesting with the kids. I've always heard the kids. I've heard different scientific reasons that they're like a different weight, like a different frequencies and brain waves that they're seeing. They're in tune with different things. So I believe in that. I feel like you hear a lot of stories with the kids, but it is fascinating to think about that. It's like, what is your kid seeing? Most people are like, that's just like his brain doing that.
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe like and I just maybe, said, yeah. but.
And maybe, that's but it was real. Also, no,
that's,
yeah.
That, to me, that's, come on.
Yeah. And it was really like, it was comforting too. And then that is how we started talking about it too. You know, like I have other kids now and we have a blended family too. And it's, I've got a baby with my current husband. And also the baby's 7. We got to stop calling him baby. Like he's going to be literally the world's worst husband someday. He's going to be like, but I'm a baby, you know, like. But I'm just a baby. And I'm like,
he's voice acting. Yeah, that's phenomenal. Like,
he's in first grade and he's still like, he's like, I can't do it. I'm a baby. I'm like carry his ass everywhere. I'm like, God.
At least 21.
Like, truly. He's going to be like 30 and I'm going to be like, excuse me. You're having a great second date. He is a baby. he would like to see you again. However, he is a baby.
Get him home by 10. Okay. He's driving. Okay. Oh.
Don't let him have any coffee after 4 p.m. Don't. He's going to be up all night.
I'm actually pretty jacked up on that coffee. I think I might have put too much in there.
Yeah, it's really hitting. Okay, so I'm in the Burbank Marriott.
I forgot about that.
Let's get back to the Burbank Marriott.
Go back to the specific.
And it's like she's going through the crowd and she's like explaining how it works for her. Honestly, you have to interview her. Like she's so delightful and so wonderful. And, you know, she's like kind of being guided, right? Like by... You know, she'll like walk up to a person and she's like, I have a man here. He's like in his mid 40s. His name starts with an M, you know, and this guy's like, my dad's name is, you know, and she's like, you know, talking to this couple. And then she like basically, I mean, it was wild. She was like, yeah, he says like, you know, congratulations, like on June. And the guy's like, my sister's name is Jane. And his wife's like, our baby's due in June. And he's like, oh, yeah. Like,
how do you explain that?
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's just like so, and I was just like loving the fact that it's like you're in a group of 200 people that you know have experienced loss and still hold, like you're sitting in a room filled with love, like aching love. And, you know, she's kind of going through the room and it's like the night's almost over and she's like sort of near our area of the room. And she's like, I have two dead husbands. And one is 35-ish, and then one is in his 60s, and one died 10 years ago. I'm seeing an ex almost 10 years ago, and one died 4 years ago. And this old lady and I look at each other, and we're like, you know, that's us, you know? And, like, the things that came up were so interesting. I've never said my youngest child's name publicly, and she said it. The full name is an unusual name. And Aaron's very funny. And she was like, he's so funny. And she was saying like these very inside jokes, you know, like that were just literally just too specific. And I was like sitting like this, like what the fuck? Like, and I just kept being like, what the, and it felt so real. And I'd lost this pregnancy at 11 weeks and 6 days when Aaron was like, not on hospice, but was clearly dying. And my dad died 5 days after that. And I just was like, I'm fucking ruining the world. You know, it's like, fuck. Like, it just, and if you've lost a pregnancy, of course it's not your fault. And of course it feels like your fault because it's your body, you know, and you're like, it's like, it was right there and I'm so sorry. And it's like, I brought myself to the doctor and like, I just picked Aaron up from the hospital and he was like, oh, I'll just wait in the car and like, you know, listen to music. He was like listening to like a sports game on the car radio. And I had to like go up and be like, they had to be like, your baby's dead. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll go to the hospital tomorrow and then come down and tell him. And then the car was dead because he was listening to the radio for so long. The car running. or with the car just on electric. Like, and it was cold. And I was like, fuck, no, the car's dead. And this is like, ugh. Anyways, I had lost that pregnancy. And like, we'd both just agreed it was a girl. It was too soon to tell. But we were just like, it's a girl. And she said, like, the baby you lost was never meant for you. It was meant for him to have. Oh, said he would have her in like the other world. And like, that did feel like so real to me. And that did feel so right to me too, you know? And then she said that he kept up his side of the bargain, but he actually got an extra. And what she was talking about was that on our second date, which is psycho, on our second date, I was like, how many kids do you want?
That's amazing. Sounds like on brand, to be honest. You know, I just met
honestly,
you.
Yeah. He was like, two. And I was like, four. And he was like, three. And then we shook and I was like, I'm getting four. Like, men are stupid. I'll have four children if I want them. And he was like, yeah, you have five. And I was like, because we have this blended family now. So, yeah. You know, I have four kids the hard way, I guess. Or I guess there's no easy way to have four kids. Just not the way that I expected. And it just felt like, it's so hard to explain, but it literally just felt like it was maybe 12 minutes long. And it felt like 12 minutes with him. And I don't know how to explain it other than like, even like the friend that I was with is like holding my hand through it. I'm sitting next to one of her friends who I just met that night and like holding her hand. And Laura Lynn is like, he's pulling other people up and he has a red balloon. And this woman had just told me that was like a thing that her mom was like, I'm going to send you red balloons because at her aunt's funeral, like she'd wanted red balloons. And her mom's like, we can have red balloons. It's like, just, it had been a thing. And I like look at her, I'm like, red balloon. And she's like, and he's got a white dog. And I look at my friend, she's like, my dog. And he's got like, you know, he's pulling up like there's like another little girl. And it's like her friend who had lost a baby, a girl at like, you know, however many weeks. And it just felt like him. He was so good at making everyone feel like they like belonged, you know, like they belong to the party. I'm not naturally built to feel like I belong somewhere. And the first night that I really spent time with Aaron, we had like met and he was like, oh, come out to this bar with all my friends and I. And I'm like trying to convince my cousins, like, we have to go for this one boy. And they're like, we don't want to. And I was like, I have done so many things for you guys. Do you understand how many times I've gone to a bar for you? You're coming to this bar. And we walk in and he's at a table of like 30 people. And I was like, oh my God, he just invited everyone. You know what I mean? I was like, this is so embarrassing. And he like got up, went and found chairs for me and all my cousins. And like pulled us in, you know, and was like, and this is Nora and this is Lillian and this is Mary Claire, like just like brought us in instead of, and that's not how everyone is. Yeah, you know what I mean? 100%. Like they might be like, oh yeah, like I'll see you soon, you know, or like, oh maybe, or go grab a chair. Like he like got up and did it.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, and that's like, special. Yeah. And it like felt like that. Like he was like, oh, also there's this guy, you know, like there's this guy. And
I love people like that.
Yeah, I do too. And it just felt like so special and so real. And then the next day, I was staying at my friend's house in Altadena and I like walked down a fucking mountain to the coffee shop. I was like, why am I going to die? I was like, this is not a half mile, like dripping sweat. It's like 40 degrees. And I walk into this coffee shop and the music changes and it's Mayor Hawthorne. And that's who Aaron and I saw on our first date.
Get out.
I know. I literally was like no one in the coffee shop cares. I was like, what? And I'm like shazamming it. I'm like, is it? Like, am I making this up? And it's like, I don't hear Mayor Hawthorne that often, right? I don't. Is it somewhat easy listening for a coffee station? Yes. Are there a lot of reasons the music could change when you walk in? Yeah, the song was over, right? But it just felt so comforting. It felt so real. And maybe 5 minutes later, I get a text from that friend, Chase, whose husband's cousins I spent time with the night before. And he said, are you best friends with Caroline Moss? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I'm having brunch with her best friend from high school right now. I've known her for years. And that's the friend whose house I was staying in Altadena.
Are you kidding? What are these connections?
Right. It's all Aaron. I don't know. It's all Aaron. It's all Laura Lynn Jackson. It all just like, and I like come home. I'm like, okay, then this is the biggest part, which we've said Good luck editing this.
I don't edit anything.
So okay, good. Okay. Yeah. My youngest baby. It's not a baby. Jesus Christ. Okay. Our youngest child is definitely my current husband's baby. They are copy-paste. I cannot make a child who looks like me. It's so rude. I think it's the rudest thing in the world. Okay. You look so much like your dad. So rude.
I keep hearing that.
So rude to your mother. Okay. So rude to the woman who gave you all of her calcium, nutrients.
I'm going
to
send her that clip.
Yes. Right. Okay. Like, so rude. And also such a gift, because now I look at Ralph and I'm like, oh my God, there he is, you know. But our youngest is like kind of, he's not confused by like the situation, but we have like a huge, Aaron's all over our house. And there's this portrait of like Aaron and myself and Ralph. And it was taken on film and Ralph is moving. So he's like this blur. And our youngest is always like, oh, that's my papa. And that's, you know, and he's like, and I'm in your stomach. And I'm like, oh, not really, you know, but, you know, and I'll be like, oh, Ralph, you look so much like, you know, you look so much like papa. And our youngest is like, and me too. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure you do, bud.
And he'll be like, I miss when it was just me and Ralph and papa and you. Aww. Before you met this guy. And I'm like, his dad's like, yeah, that's how it happened. That's how it went. But I have always felt like he is so connected to Aaron. I really have. Like, they have a similar sense of humor. And of course, there's reasons for that too, right? I have Aaron's sense of humor. I gave it to Ralph. Like, you echo in people after, like, you're gone. And there's actually a really interesting book that I would like to tell everybody about called Other People's Words, which is about that, about the ways that, like, language persists, you know, like the way that you say things carries on in other people, like inside jokes, turns of phrase. And one of the things that Aaron said to Laura Lynn Jackson through Laura Lynn Jackson was that he was with that youngest child of mine. We call him Q, or baby. He was with him, like their souls, like were together before he was born. And that he knows him and that he's a part of our family and he loves being a part of our family. And that felt so important to me because I have always felt that's always been important to me, right? And for a lot of reasons, because we have a blended family too. And I want our kids to know, like, life is going to happen. Like, your family can just grow. Your family can grow around those, you know, broken spots, around all of that stuff. And like, it can expand too. And the next morning after the coffee shop thing, after that text, I like FaceTime, you know, my husband, and I'm trying to like convey to him everything that just happened, you know? And I'm like, and she said that like Aaron knew Q and that they were together, and like we're on FaceTime and Q is a troll. Okay. What you need to know about this kid is if you say like the sun is up, he'd be like, no, it's not. Sometimes we joke that he is QAnon, like he's the Q. Like just when he was 2 years old, he accidentally got on Reddit and was like, the moon is a fake. Because, like, you know.
QAnon.
Yes. Yeah. And he, so he like slides into view on FaceTime and he's like, that's true.
That's amazing.
He's like, I know Aaron. I've always known Aaron. And then just goes back to like eating his breakfast. And I was like, and my husband is like,
that's some wild shit.
It just, you know what I mean? It just feels so true and just feels so real. And I came home and I'm trying to like explain all this to my kids. And they're like, we know, we get it. Like, we get it. We get it. And as like more of those little synchronicities happen too, like my kids will be like, like that check that arrived that was $666 that's on our table. They're all like, Aaron, like, it's Aaron.
Like, how do you, I mean, it's one, this goes back to the conversation of like, what's real, what's not.
Yeah.
It's whatever you believe,
whatever
feels good.
Yeah.
It's just experiential. I think if you have these experiences, it's just enough.
Yeah, it is.
Just, it's like full stop there. It's like, yeah. And that's it.
It's enough.
Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. And it's like, it's such a gift to like give to yourself to believe in anything, right? Mm-hmm. Even just to believe in the fact that like your love for this person is still out there in ways that you might not understand or in ways that you might recognize, right? Like, maybe it doesn't have to be a sign. Maybe it doesn't have to be like a core belief of yours, but maybe like you hear that song, you remember them, and like, that's real too, you know?
Yeah, I had an experience. I don't want to take up all your time. Me and my girlfriend at the time went to the 9/11 museum randomly. We went to the city for the first time together. And I was like, you should see the museum. If you've never seen it, it's pretty ridiculous. Yeah. I've seen it a bunch of times, so go for you.
And we walk in there again. We were like contemplating, wasn't planned. So the timing was just sporadic. We walk into one section where they have like all the, on the loudspeaker, they say all the names from the past 20 years of people reading the names on TV. And as soon as we walk into that section, we just walked into that section of the 9/11 memorial, and I hear a voice on the loudspeaker, and I'm like, it took a while, it took a second to register. I was like, sounds like my mom. And then all I hear is, and my husband, David Francis Ferrugio. At the moment, we just walked into the section, and I hear my mom's out of 3,000 people that died, 20 years of footage, I hear my mom say my dad's name from whatever year she spoke on TV at that moment. And that's like, yeah, like you said with the song, it could I could have just coincidence, sure, but I'm like, what?
Yeah. Well,
that's never going to happen again.
Yeah.
I've been there since, but like it's—
It would never.
What is that?
No.
And I chalk it up to coincidence, I don't know.
Yeah.
But what are the odds alone of just walking into the memorial and I've been there before, randomly went, happened to walk in the one section they're saying the names, and I hear my mom's voice on the loudspeaker.
I have chills, yeah.
I know, it's like—
I have chills. And also it's like, why can't a coincidence be magical?
Right,
like,
exactly.
Even if it's not like related to your dead person, like why can't you have like an outsize appreciation for the fact that you are running 3 minutes late and then you hit three green lights and suddenly you're right on time.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, I think it is kind of an exercise in like noticing and in appreciating too. But that is beautiful. Like that's a beautiful moment.
Yeah, I think about that all the time. Like recently I walked out my front door, then I literally forgot something. I always have these thoughts. I'm like, did I just forget that on purpose? Because if I would have been there a second earlier, something would happen. It's like, that's a whole rabbit hole of thoughts. But I think like you just said, you just let things be what they are. Mm-hmm. And if you want to experience like that, you experience like that. It's just, you don't have to shun someone else for believing this or that if it's not affecting you. But then again, it is affecting them because it's affecting their beliefs.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just don't take things personally.
Yeah.
Understand that we don't know, and it's okay to believe. And it's like, it's just, it's also fascinating to me. I like these conversations to explore it, learn different things. Maybe that'll resonate, maybe it doesn't. But it's just interesting to me when someone doesn't believe in the afterlife and they say with 100% certainty it's not so. But like, aren't you kind of saying the same thing on the other side?
Yeah, I know.
Not the other side of the world, the other side of the—
I know. Also, I'm like, I'm not going to fight over it. Like, I guess we'll see when we get there.
No. Before I do get you out of here, because I don't want to take up all your time. I screenshot a couple of things that you— I don't know if you you mentioned something. Grief in the digital age. What did you mean by that? You said you still want to lose parts of a person because you don't know logins. Forget about logins. That is— you ever heard of like a death box?
Yeah,
I think that's important to have. Because we had that experience, we were scrambling about exactly that. Like, we were like, the credit cards, she doesn't pay this. And we couldn't find it.
I know.
That's a whole other scramble.
It really is. Like, there's so much, like, admin to death, too, which I think is, like, even more traumatic. And honestly, like, when you think about what your mom went through in, like, 2001, too, like, it was not— I don't know. It's, like, that's a lot. I want to talk to your mom, honestly.
Someone asked me, really, what's your favorite episode? I spoke to her. I have so many amazing people. But for me personally, I had my mom on the podcast. That was a special episode because I learned so much about her and what she went through, what she felt. And it resonated exactly what you said earlier about not wanting your— like, you don't want your kid worry about you. And that's exactly what she was. And when I brought up how I felt, like, was I enough of a support for my mom? She's like, no, you were.
Yeah.
And she said it in a way that, like, I wasn't intentionally doing it. It was just me being her son. Therefore, she's like, I would have not been able to push forward if it wasn't for my kids, because I did what I had to do to get you out of it, and she didn't want me effed up. So it's like, I was there for my mom by just existing, so I wasn't, like, doing anything. But she's remarkable, and it's always amazing to see a mom like that, because there's so many other amazing moms out there like you that would do what she did. But then I always think there's a lot of moms out there that wouldn't.
That's true. That's true. Honestly, moms suck too sometimes. Yeah, I think we don't talk about that enough. Yeah. Like, people are like, oh, dads. And I'm like, honestly, just people.
People.
Just people. Unfortunately, parents are not like a special class of person. They're just people who have procreated. People are extremely flawed.
That's the thing. Like, some people shouldn't have kids.
Yeah.
Like, you're enough alone.
Yeah.
It's like, to make another one of you, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if we need to copy paste there. But yeah, it's like, I Aaron died in 2014, and like, iCloud is kind of new. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things that were just like not uploaded to the right place. I didn't know, like, one of his websites is just gone, you know, because I just didn't know, you know.
Right.
I'm like, that domain was registered somewhere. It was hosted somewhere. I have no idea where. I never thought of it, you know.
Yes.
We, no one was taking video on their phones, even like 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like to turn on video does change kind of like the temperature of like an exchange too.
How do you mean? Like in the moment?
Yeah. And especially like you weren't, there was no video on Instagram. Snapchat was like, yeah, but also, you know, it wasn't like a lot of documenting. We were documenting our lives in really different ways. And he had a camera. He had several cameras. I don't know where, I don't have a lot of video of him. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of video of him. And there's a lot of things that I think about and I'm like, where could that be? Like where on a hard drive somewhere, where in a cloud somewhere is that thing? And I think what freaks me out is I don't even know what's missing.
Ooh.
Because
you didn't know it was there?
Yeah.
The time, yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah, the video thing is interesting to me. I literally, my brother-in-law sent me a clip of recording the TV of a VHS tape, and it was a video of me pitching in Little League, and then he texted me, like, listening to your dad's voice, and he was cheering me on. So I'm listening to it on repeat, and he's just saying, come on, kid. Like,
just
call us to say kid, everything. And it was always interesting because I felt like a new memory. I was like, when I see new photos and there's things I didn't even know were out there, like, kind of like what you're saying, I was like, damn, I love those moments because it's like you don't get new memories with the people you lost. So seeing those photos, those videos that I'm blessed to have had, it feels like, oh, I feel like I just had a new experience. I got to, even though it's going back in time with that moment, it's like, that feels like it's like a new experience with my dad, which, you know, I'm never going to get again.
Yeah.
So having those videos, now I understand it more. It's a blend of certain moments I do want it to capture, but I also don't want to ruin the moment by capturing it.
I know.
So it's a battle. But now I kind of understand videos and photos a little bit more now, like, because it's, you know, it's nice to have.
Yeah. I also think like, we went through this period in America where everyone was like, oh my God, if you take a selfie, you're such a narcissist. And I'm like, let people document their lives.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. I have, you know, my mom's alive. I don't have a lot of photos of her from my childhood because she was taking all the photos.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's like,
interesting.
I can't think of any that she's in, really, you know? There's maybe like a few and she's like, oh, you know, it's like three of us just like, oh, like, you know, and it's like my dad's taking it. So it's like, but yeah, it's, I would love to find video of Aaron. I'd love to find video of my dad. I know it doesn't really, you know, exist. I have like one voicemail from my dad because it would be like hard to save voicemails.
Yes.
You know, on like old iPhones. And I have one and it's my dad being like, yeah, hi, it's your dad. You called me. Call me back. You know? And then also like, you can't call him back because he'd end a call and turn his phone off.
That's
so it's like... It's like the only way you could end a call was like power it off.
I save a lot of voicemails. I have that. It sounds like a dark thought, but when I have like a funny voicemail from a friend or my mom, whatever it is, I think about it. Oh, when they die, I'm going to save this. I'm going to want to listen to this.
I do that too.
Literally, exactly.
I do that
all
too.
All the time.
I do that too.
It's and I think for most people, like, that's fucked up. No, it's like
no. It's just in case.
And I want that. And it's just. I don't know, saving these things, and it sounds morbid, but it puts me more in the present. It makes me more appreciative. That's why this conversation I have, it's a fucking blast.
Yeah.
It's like,
your
humor is just like incredible. And that's why when I first saw you speak like a long time ago, it's just like, I don't know, she gets it in my head, and it's not for everyone, the humor, but it's to me, humor is, and I'm like, my family's always been funny.
Yeah.
So I feel like the humor would have been there, but I really, like I make terrible jokes that are ill-timed. I try to be better at it, but also I don't care. And I think humor is just a big practice in getting through life because at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know.
It's so ridiculous anyways. It's so bananas. When you think truly, it's like when you are looking through that keyhole and you're like, can you believe all of us get up every day knowing that we could lose the most important people to us? Like, do you know that almost every single person that you see walking around is carrying like a giant load of grief on their back that is just simply invisible to you. And they just look like somebody who's in a hurry or somebody who's being rude, and maybe they are, or they just look like they have it all and everything's like perfect for them. And it's like, can you believe we all have to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is ridiculous. And I don't think that there are people who use humor to like dismiss what's happening, and there are people who see the humor like that unfolds in all of this sorrow. And I think that there's a big difference there.
I totally agree. And I think I clarify that. And at this point, I'm trying not to clarify, but I'm like, I'm not doing it. I don't feel like I'm doing it.
You're not. No, you're not.
I think it's just this is all ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like, when I ever see the movie Old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a horror movie.
Yeah.
But then when I watched it, I'm like, this movie is a comedy.
Yes.
I mean, me and my girl at the time were watching. Yeah. Like, we were the only ones laughing. Yeah. And then eventually people started laughing. Like, I feel like that's life. Like,
yeah.
It's sometimes it's so tragic and it's supposed to be a horror movie in the scene, but it's hilarious.
It's so funny.
It's so funny. And I think I have to be gentle with certain people that aren't there yet. Or maybe they won't be there.
Yeah, of course.
But at the same time, like when I'm around, it's when bad shit happens.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I feel like I could find the humor in the middle of it. And I think it's important. For me, that's huge. And that's why I love talking to someone like you. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
And you do it so well.
Thank you. My dad, I'm just going to give you one little funny story. Please. Because it's not like I'm like, you want to hear the funniest story? My dad died. It's not like you're like, hey guys, I've got a great joke. My dad died on 9/11. You know?
Like, I do try to slip in there. It's like, it doesn't always land. I literally said it to him. I was like, my jokes don't always land. And my buddy's like, neither did the planes. Yeah. I'm like, oh, damn, that was good. That's cold as shit, but that was good.
People are like, this is my 9/11. You're like, me too. 9/11 is my 9/11.
Exactly. Yeah. We all have a 9/11.
Yeah. Mine just happens to be 9/11. And they're like, it is 9. Yeah. No, it's. Yeah. I'm about to ruin this party. I'll tell you right now.
Don't
to
me.
Yeah. But so my dad's in the ICU, and so he's going to die. And the nurses are like, so sweet. I love nurses. And this nurse walks in and she's really young. And she's like, hi, Mr. McInerney, how are we doing? And he's like, on oxygen. And he goes, well, I am dying.
Oh my God.
And she's like, oh, like, you could just tell she was like, oh. And then he's like, no, honey, I'm sorry. Like, I was just making a joke,
good,
you know.
Good on him.
But she was like, she was too soft for, you know what I mean? The rest of our family is like,
when
she's like, she was not ready for that, but it was meant for us. That joke was meant for us.
I mean,
you know,
I got to parlay off that. My mom was in the ICU, and like a day or two, she came out of it. She was still foggy. She doesn't remember it. It was me, my sisters, and Ken, her partner, for quite a long time. We were sitting there, and first of all, my mom thought, I think your mom, Ma, you're cool with me telling this.
Yeah.
And she thought our parents were still alive.
Yeah,
and I had a breakdown.
Yeah.
They weren't. And my dad, that was a whole nother conversation.
Oh, God.
And so we had this 40-minute experience trying to explain to their parents weren't alive anymore. She thought they were there. She's very confused, as she would be after cardiac arrest and blah, blah, blah. And so we just had 40 minutes to explain to our parents on our own. And then we're sitting there talking to her, and she's sitting up, and she has a very raspy voice from the event, the whatever that put down your throat. And Ken's to my left, poor Ken. And she's like, we said Ken's name. My mom's like, Ken, who's Ken? And I look at my sisters. Ken's like, he just had a very traumatic experience, like help, like saving my mom essentially.
Yeah.
Like bless his heart. And we all look at her, like, oh God. My mom just turns. She just turns and goes, and she's with a raspy, she goes, she like laughs. And I was like, I was losing it. Poor Ken, it was like so heavy for my sister has to slap me for like dying laughing. Like, her mom's in the ICU, and she had the awareness to crack a joke, like, who's Ken? And she was fucking with her. I was like, oh my God. It was fucking brilliant. It was just such a good moment. And it was just, for me, it was a dark humor joke. I was like,
oh, I love her.
Back. Like,
she's back. Yeah, she's back. Back. Ken, sorry.
She doesn't even remember that story. She doesn't remember being in the hospital. But I was like, that was like the first sign of like, oh, that was so
sign
great.
Of life. A sign of who she
and
is.
It was humor.
Yeah.
And it was humor. Yeah. It was just, humor to me was just everything. I think that humor is just literally, to not be cliche, is the best medicine.
I think so,
it's
too.
It's a release. It feels good.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I love stand-up comedy. I love comedy. It's just so important. And I hope people can see that. But some people, like I said, just aren't funny, so they're never going to get it.
I know.
That's a conversation. But I want to thank you for doing it. Is there any last words to say? Anything you want to say?
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad we finally got to do this.
Yeah,
it's
really
literally been
you.
Years
I really appreciate
of
you.
Emails.
You just wanted to talk to me.
Yeah.
But it's never a good transition for this. But if there's anything you want to drop for yourself or
oh, God, I have no idea. You know? I don't know. Like, the worst of that. I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I've written some books.
There you go.
I have a new daily podcast called It's Going to Be Okay. That's like just 5 minutes of like.
That's amazing.
Something okay, right? Not like something great. Like, let's lower the bar. Let's just like look for something that's like okay about every day. That's really fun for me to make. And, but yeah, I'm sure you'll find stuff.
You're going to go find stuff for her. But I'm going to, as usual, I'm going to plug it in the bottom so you can find her podcast, her books, all that, if you want to look up more of you. But anyway, thank you so much for, it's a real honor to sit in front of you. And you're
I'm so amazing. Glad you're doing this work. You're so good at it.
I mean, come on, look who's talking.
You're so
I'm trying to get to your level. So I appreciate you. It's truly, really cool to actually look you in the eyes and have you on. Yeah. So I really appreciate the time.
Same.
Seriously, for real.
Same.
Time is of the essence, as they say. So for you to be willing to sit with me for over an hour, it means a lot.
Yeah. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Another episode of Dead Talks. We'll see you later. Peace out.